in partnership with InnerValleyShook.com, the number one LSU sports blog site out there. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Coming to you on a Thursday night. It is November 12, 2010. Fresh off a grade A USDA choice ass whooping of the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday in Death Valley, 24-21. And don't blame us, because we're awesome. We're kind of in a giddy mood tonight, and it's very well deserving, because that was a phenomenal showing on Saturday, and much that we're going to discuss today. I'm your host, Kerry Muntz. With me tonight in Ponchatoula, Louisiana, Mr. Patrick Morris. Patrick, how are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm okay, because I'm in that mode right now where, you know, I don't know which end is up with Thanksgiving coming up, so. Yeah, by the way, I wouldn't classify that as an ass-whooping. I would classify that as domination on the field, but ass-whooping entails a major point spread between teams.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it was a solid performance, you know, and you can't blame me. I mean, it's the happiest I've been after a victory in quite some time. But yeah, I guess you're right. So let me digress real quick and say not an ass-whooping, but a solid performance all the way around the field by the LSU Tigers on Saturday, coaching-wise, play-calling-wise, scheme-wise, everything that we did wrong against Auburn, we did right against Alabama. We didn't turn the ball over. We created two times.
Well, let me say that for one half.
Well, for one half. Well, it was 7-3. I mean, with
offense. What's funny is we did most of that in one half. Imagine if we'd have played the whole game like that.
300 yards of offense in the second half. That's more than we had against Vinny State. More offense. We had more offense against one of the top defenses in the nation in one half than we did against the whole game against a Division I AA opponent. So
we got the streakiest quarterbacks in the SEC.
I'm sorry?
We have the streakiest quarterbacks in the SEC. It's all about confidence.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's you know, his pass numbers weren't even all that spectacular. I mean, they were decent because of the long pass plays to Randall. But, just phenomenal, just all the way around. I mean, just
a word. I was impressed.
I'm still kind of speechless right now, because I'd really, you know, honestly thought if anybody listened to us last week, you know what I thought. I mean, I just felt it was going to be a typical LSU type Alabama. Typical LSU Alabama type game, the way it's been.
Uh-oh.
I didn't think it was going to happen, and I'm so happy, you know, extremely happy to be wrong. So, before we get all the way into it, I forgot to talk about it at the top of the show. Ways to get in touch with us, as always, go to the website. It's andthevalleyshook.com, andthevalleyshook.com. The number one LSU sports blog out there, part of SB Nation blogs. You can email the show, goshow@gmail.com. And also, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can go to iTunes, download us for free to your iPod, and listen to us at any point in the day that you want to. If you want to take a 15-minute break at work and listen to 15 minutes of me and Patrick talking about absolutely nothing, which is what we were doing before we actually started the show, if Podcast Ed puts together a good blooper reel, we gave him some good ammo tonight. So many ways to listen to the show. Again, if you go to the website, on the homepage, on the left-hand side, you scroll down, there's a little yellow button that says Podtrack Play. You click on that, that pulls up all the show archives, all the shows we've done, all the shows that we've done that have been released by Podcast, I should say. And he's back there. I don't know if the show from Saturday got released, because that was a monstrosity. I think that was just we were kind of out of practice for a little while.
It wasn't a late game. We weren't into like our whole rhythm. It was not a good vibe.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, a lot of us wanted to we know tailgating's coming to an end, so it's kind of like you want to get all the tailgating as much as you can, because we don't have but two home games left. I only have one home game left because I'm not going to be there Saturday, and that's a damn 2:30 game too. They just announced that Monday. If you want to talk about news headlines for a quick second.
Did they really? I didn't even know that yet.
Yeah, it's a 2:30 game just because nobody is playing that weekend. So, and before we get back to, and before we get into and dive into Alabama real quick, I want to go ahead and say you're welcome to LSU Football Tiger Nation. As I was the one that started the Cam Newton rumors. So when they lose to Georgia because of all the distractions this week, you can send your thank you notes to me.
It's funny how they have an update every half hour with something new coming out. Now the guy that actually from Mississippi State actually got on the radio, you know, that Kenny Rogers guy, and said that he actually called in the phone.
The gambler.
To, yeah. He said he actually called in
the
phone
to
Newton's father. They actually played the sound bite.
I didn't know Mississippi State actually had a player by the name of Kenny Rogers. When did I miss that? You know, we play Mississippi State every year. You know, I know they had a quarterback like Chris Rock. But
I remember Kenny Stabler back in the day at Alabama and stuff, you know, but, you know, not that I was alive back then, but he played for the Saints for a year and sucked.
Snake, yes, he did. He had a long black beard.
Yes.
So, anyway, LSU Alabama, Patrick Morris, your thoughts. What does this win do? I mean, first of all, I mean, just...
This win gives us respect. That's what it does. It got us from what we were for like 3 weeks, which is basically a serious laughing stock. We were a good team. They knew we had talent, but we were a laughing stock nationally. But this game gave us respect because, you know, oh, we beat the mighty Nick Saban, you know, the guy that was supposed to come back and win the national championship with one loss. You know, we took his team and we took him to task. You know, maybe not, you know, we did it basically by out-coaching him and out-tricking him and out-doing things that he should have caught because he was such a great coach.
That's right.
That we, you know, when we do have our things going right, you know, like we showed in the second half, everybody saying, oh, crap, LSU found a passing game. If that team finds a game, they're going to – I don't want to play them. You know, that's basically what it's telling people, that everybody's been waiting for this to happen. If we've been that consistent all year, we're sitting at number one. Not just because we'd have beat Auburn, but – we'd be sitting there just because of the respect we've had. We'd be up in the polls, and they say, God, nobody's going to touch that talent on that team. They have somebody to guide the talent. That's what this win did. It's all about respect nationally and with the voters and everybody else, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and it shows in the latest BCS rankings. We jumped up 5 spots and leapfrogged 2 other one-loss teams in Stanford and Nebraska. If not more than that, we might have leapfrogged a couple of Ohio State too. I can't remember where Ohio State was sitting, but we're the top ranked one loss team right now. We're behind the 4 undefeateds, and it's us. And some people didn't agree with it. They thought Stanford and Nebraska should have still been ahead of us. And some people say they absolutely LSU belongs there because look at who they've played at this point in the season. I mean, look at the teams they've played.
How many top ranked teams we played?
And the fact that Mississippi State 7-2 ain't really hurting us either right now. So I mean, Mississippi State Alabama is going to be a very good game this weekend. I mean, despite Alabama being pissed off because they lost, but Mississippi State is going to give Bama a game, in my opinion. I really do. I really think that. So, but
honestly, you want Florida to win this weekend to help you out.
Well, yeah, you want Florida to win. I want Florida to win because I don't want to see Podcast Beardless. I just want to think about that.
And I don't want Joe Labatt winning.
You'd be right. Because you're never going to hit out of it. So, but no, they did all the things, like I said earlier. They did all the things in this game against Alabama that I thought we'd be able to do against Auburn. We stretched the field in the second half. We opened up the second half, and it was beautiful. I mean, I think we opened up. I think we received the start of the second half, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we traded punts. And we got the ball at the 6. And we get the ball at the 6. You just think, let's get out of this hole and start and keep playing field position. All of a sudden, you know, and I'm just kind of sitting there, and we got Swamp People guy taking pictures left and right. So I can't even see the field at this point, just to kind of give you a visual of what's going on in my section right now. We got Troy from Swamp People taking pictures left and right with people because he's sitting 2 rows in front of us. And all of a sudden, Jordan Jefferson completes a 25-yard pass to Tolliver. So you're like, okay, we got out of the hole. Then all of a sudden, boom, big play. Reuben Randall across the field and touchdown. And all of a sudden we're up, you know, we're up 10-7. And then they come right back. So that's when the emotions, the game really started. It's like 14-10, you know, and we kicked the field goal 14-13. And then the call of the game on that 4th-and-1, which I was in a stand screaming, kick the field goal, I think. Because
oh, yeah, you were. I guarantee you were.
It's automatic. I mean, Josh Jazz was close to automatic as you can get. I know he missed the field goal earlier in the game, but you know, on that end of the field, he was perfect. And I was like, "Oh, you got to kick the points again in this situation." but he went for it. It was, an outstanding play call. And Alabama was completely fooled on that play. You go back and you watch that, and you watch the defensive pursuit on that, and they all keyed on Ridley.
Wasn't that a play call after we had lined up to go for it? Didn't Alabama call a timeout before that?
Yeah. We came off. Came out of a timeout.
Set up their defense? Yeah.
I think we called a timeout.
We ran a play clock down to the side, didn't call timeout, then came back out and ran it anyway.
Yeah, we ran it anyway. And it was just, beautiful. The greatest part about it is, it's hard to see all this stuff when you're sitting in the stands, but Jordan Jefferson threw a hell of a block. We had already had the first down, but he threw a block that almost sprung D'Angelo Peterson into the end zone. And great effort. It was just an outstanding play call
part about all those play calls that they were putting forth in this game, not to mention that Josh Jasper, he's a hell of an athlete, taking that run. But, yeah. Just the play call in general, you're at a college football game, it's all about excitement at college football. It's not like pros where you're trying to play for this and you know you can get the ball back, you got equal athletes and all this stuff. In college, that is what college is all about, being unpredictable, trying things, doing different things. And that, to me, was a true college football game. That was a great idea. That was great right there. That was the best.
It was cleanly played. There was not, there wasn't a bunch of penalties that decided, a lot of key field position. I think there was only 8 total penalties in the game. I think we were penalized 5 times. I think they were penalized only 3 times. If I remember hearing that stat correctly after the game on Saturday night, just so well played. Hard hitting, great execution. It was just phenomenal. And to be fortunate enough to come out on top, and now there's so many things that can still happen.
We know things can happen. We've been in the position.
Yeah, but at the same time, we got to stay focused too, and that's. I'm not, just because we're beat Alabama, I'm not going to sit here and say I think we're going to win the rest of our games by 21 points.
No, we got to play Arkansas. That's going to be tough.
We got to play Ole Miss.
Les
Miles hasn't beaten Houston yet, maybe once.
I am disappointed. There's one thing that really disappoints me in this game, though, to be very, very negative, and that is Russell Shepherd got caught from behind.
Yeah. He did get caught from behind. That was.
You know what? If you look at the replay, and I did look at the replay on that one, he wouldn't have got caught if he'd have just kept running. He turned to look. He turned his head. Yes,
I can't remember at what point in the game that was, but I haven't watched that play yet because I kind of.
Because it was coming right at us, and I just remember that. I'm like, there's no way. Because number 4, he didn't catch Randall before that, coming down because he was the same guy that was chasing Reuben Randall down.
That's right, yeah,
that long pass. And yet he caught Russell Shepherd. I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I can't remember. I guess I don't remember that play. I remember the play, but as I was watching, I was rewatching the game. I for some reason I didn't try to find that play because I guess I can't remember that it didn't lead to a touchdown. I know that.
It was one of the plays that should have been a touchdown with just him running the ball.
You're right.
With that speed and that, and just in the fact that he caught him, and I was like, no way.
Yeah. So, a lot of good athletes all over the field, but yeah, you say you look back. So, I was wondering why Reuben Randall on that long touchdown run kept running towards the foul line and just turned it right up the field to begin with. He ran an extra 20 yards in a play he didn't have to, but
he hadn't run all year, so he's probably stretching his legs a bit now.
The wide open pass plays across the middle, you let materialize LSU too well. But
The other great thing about Reuben Randall coming alive in this game is the other couple games you had Terrence Tolliver, who actually started making a presence. Now you got your other receiver making a presence. Now who are you going to guard?
Right. Yeah. It all boils down to what kind of day Jordan Jefferson at least having. So that's the basic.
Apparently he's got a little confidence right now.
No, they both play well. Jared Lee.
No, I thought they did. I thought that.
He stepped in. Jordan Jefferson got hurt. Jefferson was knocked out of the game for that one play. Jared Lee steps in, hands the ball off once, and comes on a 3rd and 12. Steps up in the pocket and hits Reuben Randall down the sideline for that big first down.
That was off the front foot too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he stepped up in the pocket and delivered that pass right on the money. And I thought, you know, it was funny watching replay on that. Ruben Reina kept sidestepping people and trying to get to the end zone at one point. And he just, after that, he just kind of fell down. He was just like, I thought
that's
I was
enough. Yeah. But no, it was. So, I mean, sure. Both, that was a team effort, you know, on the quarterback position. That was a whole deal. You know, everybody seemed like it had the right person. It came in at the right time each time. You know, yeah, first half, I guarantee you, the first part of the first half, I was bored to death, though.
It was exactly as I really thought it would be in the first half. I was really, it didn't surprise me. It was like you said, it was quite uneventful. I mean, it was 7-3 at halftime, I think. It was about how I thought it would be. I remember you and I were looking up at the scoreboard, looking at the stats, and it was just, you know, it's, you know.
Yeah, it was like 100 yards of total offense. You know, but what, and the other striking stat was they did not get much in the rushing game at all. I thought they had a little more than they did. They didn't get much at all.
I think one thing ended up with about 130 yards rushing, I think, in the game.
Richardson
had a nice run and almost scored right before he caught the touchdown pass in the third and goal, which was close. I thought his knee was down before that ball crossed the plane, but that's just me.
Now, Julio Jones had a decent game. He had
a damn good game. I think he had 10 catches.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, you know, three of them were when he was matched up against Peterson. So, you know, I'd say if I had to say one-on-one matchup, I'd say that Julio Jones got the best of him. But overall, Peterson was hitting. Peterson was coming up, making tackles. He was physical in this game.
Mm-hmm. That's what he needs to be.
Yep.
He's not always gonna, not always gonna throw to him. He needs to do some other things to help the team win. All in all, defense was, it wasn't spectacular. I mean, they gave up some touchdown drives, and the drive at the end of the game is chalk it up for whatever you will, the prevent defense or what have you. But I'm not going to sit here, and I don't want to complain about this game at all, because it's not, not time for that. It's time to be happy. Eat my words.
Oh, no, I can't be more.
I was wrong.
The way we ended with the momentum in that game, and the thing that was the greatest part about that game, Tiger Stadium was alive and electric. It was.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that was the best time I've had in Tiger Stadium in over 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely right. And hopefully it can carry on to Ole Miss, too, because that's, I hope, already realize how important that game is, regardless of what happened with Georgia and Auburn this weekend. So, this is Ole Miss had a lousy season, and they're gonna hang their hats on trying to beat us in Mississippi State at the end of the year. And, so that's important. It's important against, this week against Monroe to,
get a little healthy.
Work on the fundamentals. Get a little healthy. Well, I mean, we know Taylor, Brandon Taylor and Howard Curtis are definitely out. Other than those two, I don't remember anybody else.
We're going to see us pound the ball in the running game this weekend. We're
going to
pound it.
It's going to be an ugly game. We're going to win 35-10, something like that. We're not going to go.
We're going to pound the running game. We're going to pound them, throw up top a couple times, pound them, throw up top.
Yeah, unless Miles can eat some grass, chew some grass up, and we'll probably run fun.
You know what that's going to spark? This Les Miles eating grass thing, everybody's going to freaking be running around grabbing a handful of grass. Watch all the nuts that are going to start eating grass as a result of this. I'm telling you, mark my words now, you will have nuts that are going to sit around there, grab grass off the field and eat it. Or they're going to bring grass into the stadium, and they're going to something stupid. Which will be funny, but it's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen.
Speaking of his eating grass thing, this is funny because how whenever we're watching the game on TV, I'm always making fun of the way he claps, how he claps with his palms together.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Van Pelt on his radio show was making fun of that the other day, and that's what it gets him pumped too. How he claps like a wet seal, and they have a quote. I guess they asked him. Because he's been on that show a couple of times during the season, and they played a soundbite.
They really do like him. He's a nice guy, and they love having him on and stuff.
Yeah, they do. And there's a soundbite Scott Van Pelt played, and it's Les Miles saying he likes to feel his hands when he pounds them together. I guess he doesn't go for the fingertip on a palm. He likes palm against palm. That's what he. So I guess they asked him, or they picked up that soundbite from somewhere. So not only the Degrassi thing, but the hand clapping thing, the hand clapping thing that I've been making fun of all year is starting to get some publicity too. And so I'd like to say Scott Van Pelt stole it from me, but I don't think I've ever mentioned his hand clapping thing actually on the show. So that shit ain't gonna sell. So just to sum it up one more time. I mean, I don't know, words can't describe it. I mean, it feels good to be in.
That's the second loss for that quarterback. I wonder what he's going to do now.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. So.
Yeah. Crying.
I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah. Somehow I don't feel bad either.
Somehow I think he's going to make it in life. He's a small kid. That kid, you know, I mean, you watch an Alabama team play, and you think about how similar they are to, like, the 03 LSU team, and even like the 07 LSU team, in some regards, and how the type of quarterback he is. I mean, Matt, he may probably not as athletic as Matt Moore, but as far as his what would you call it, the quarterback IQ? I mean, it's there, and that's why I think he's going to be a successful NFL quarterback. I mean. Oh, successful. He'll make a team. He'll be a backup quarterback. You might get a shot down the line. So, you know, definitely great McElroy. He'll have time to shine another day, but it just ain't going to be this week. So.
Yeah. No. But, anyway. Next year you'll see our boy, our $180,000 boy, can't be in the NFL next year because he won't be in college anyway.
He can't go in the NFL next year. He's just a sophomore. He's been 3 years removed out of high school, so.
Yes, yeah. I don't know how that rule works, you know. But
he's 3 years removed from high school, so.
Yeah.
It's talking about players that were talented in college that kind of fell off the face of the earth. I was watching this. Did you watch this 30 for 30 thing on Tuesday? Guy from Oklahoma, Marcus Dupree. I'd never heard of him until I watched the show. And the dude was phenomenal for, like, a season. He was a freshman at Oklahoma. And, he every play he'd bust, like, a 70-yard run. And then he just started getting hurt, you know, pulling hamstrings, because he was just out of shape. And,
mm-hmm.
and Barry Switzer kept saying if he just would have kept himself in shape, he would have been best running back ever. And, it just kind of reminded me, talking about Cam Newton, I'm just started thinking about, you know, college athletes who, you know, never panned out and came in with all kind of flair and just kind of faded away. But anyway, so Patrick, it's up to me and you to kind of break down the ULM game this weekend because we don't have the Warhawk representation on the show like we've had the Alabama guy and we had a guy from North Carolina. So it's up to me and you to bring it on home before we do the picks. So what can you tell me about ULM?
Well, let me get some thoughts on ULM. They're located in North Louisiana. They have a football team. I know one alumni. Let's see. I like their former name, better than the Warhawks, and damn politically correct people. There you have it. They're going to put some people on the field to play against LSU, and LSU's just going to whoop their ass.
Don't think they're going to travel as well as McNeese State did.
No, I like McNeese State. I like that game. That was a good game for several reasons. Because I like McNeese, you know, except when they're playing LSU. And I think they're a good little program. But the Warhawks, they need to stick to basketball or baseball. Or
any college team that will – go ahead and just put the name of their school on the back of their jersey. That's
true.
That's quality. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that way, if somebody gets hurt, they can just change it out.
Yeah, they probably don't travel with a bunch of backup jerseys.
No.
Take a jersey off and give it to Joe over here. He needs it.
I'm not guessing they're sponsored by Nike.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the Water Boy when the kicker in Bobby Boucher had to share a helmet. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's something going on over there in Lake Charles.
Oh, did you hear, speaking of sponsored by Nike, did you hear the little rumor, the other blog out there, whatever, today? They're talking about how Oregon and whatchamacallit is putting out the rumors on Cam Newton because Oregon is Nike and they want their guy to win a Heisman, and Cam Newton is Under Armour at Auburn, and so it's a big thing against Under Armour and Nike.
That's a bunch of crap because we all know I started the rumors. I'm the one that did it.
I know.
Put it down,
I heard that one, and that was a good one.
I didn't hear that one. I didn't hear that one. So, no disrespect to ULM, but I'm not taking this game lightly. Patrick, we need to break this game down. Okay.
I can tell you, I'm taking it lightly. I'm more concerned about how the hell I'm going to pack Ricky and all them up and move next week.
So you know what? You know what my deal is. I got to work Saturdays, and then by myself, I'm going to have to find me a bar in Mandeville that's got the game on somewhere. So I'm thinking a pitcher of beer and mellow mushroom might be a ticket for me on Saturday by myself. How low is that? I mean, that's lame.
Why don't you take one of your coworkers with you?
No, thank you. Sorry if anybody's listening. That's not happening.
Not Chris.
What? I don't think he knows what a football is.
Okay. Can't help you there, then.
I might just go with Donnie. Anyway.
What I'll do is Fuck yeah.
Come back in, man. Let's do some picks.
All right. One thing I just wanted to add on the injury front, well, a couple things, actually. For one, it looks like we might get Will Blackwell back before the end of the year. He's starting to take snaps in practice again, and they kind of hinting that he could be back either maybe Ole Miss, but probably Arkansas, or at least the bowl game. It looks like he's recovering real well from that injury he had on the first play from scrimmage against North Carolina. Morris Claiborne got hurt in the game against Alabama, but he's expected to play this weekend. And like you said, Brandon Taylor's out for the year. They're going to start Eric Reed in his position.
That's not bad because he played pretty good Saturday.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty good.
Yeah,
and they're gonna they're gonna rotate in Lawson with Reed. So
okay.
it'll be pretty good at that position because they've been rotating in some guys in that defense all year long. So
without question,
ain't nobody walking into something they don't know what to do with.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the things we complimented the defense on early in the year about, you know, Chavis's way he rotates guys in and out, and all these guys are getting. I mean, how many freshmen we're playing on defense right now? It's ridiculous how good this defense is going to be for the next couple of years, especially in the secondary.
We played a lot of guys, not just on defense, but, you know, think about it. We were talking about how we weren't playing guards, but we are. Now we are to the point where we played a lot of guys, not just because, you know, we wanted to. I mean, they had to in a lot of cases,
right.
But we have depth now.
That's right. We do. Speaking of, what's Stephen Ridley? Is he a senior?
I don't know. Hi, Cat.
Sweet potatoes and Millie.
Stephen Ridley is a junior.
All right.
We have
potatoes
a compliment. You can't put the other you got to pull your bakers from the Millie.
That's gonna be my response to everything you say. The rest of the holiday season.
Got to be white onions and Millie. Because Donna.
That's right. I got to pull that. Okay. Let's do some picks real quick and let's wrap this thing up.
All right.
All righty. First one, the game that matters the most to us, Georgia at Auburn. Auburn is favored by 8 when it was actually on the board, but due to all the nonsense this week, they pulled the line. But for the purposes of this game, Auburn is 8.5-point favorite.
All right, Patrick, you can start us off with all the games tonight.
You know what? I'm going to pick with what I want to happen in this game, not necessarily what's going to happen because I have no clue, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to pick Georgia because I want that to happen.
Okay. I'm going to go opposite of you because it worked for me last week with LSU and Alabama. I am picking with my head, and I'm going to say Auburn wins a squeak of 94-93 because there will be no defense in this game at all. I mean, none. You remember that Illinois-Michigan last week? Yeah. Whatever the over-under is, bet the over. We're Auburn and Georgia. I don't care if it's 100.
That was a crazy game. 60-something or whatever.
It was 128 total points scored, is all I know.
Yeah, it was like 67-65, I believe.
Yeah, so,
yeah. All right, next one, going to the ACC, Miami at Georgia Tech. Miami is favored by 3.5.
All right, Kerry, I'm going to go first this week. So I think I'll take the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech in this game just because I don't trust Miami. They never – every time I pick them, they screw me. So screw them.
I like the rhyme. I like how you worked that in, the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. That was pretty good.
Yep, saw that, huh?
Based on exactly what you said is why I'm going to go with Georgia Tech because for that reason only because Miami has just been so inconsistent, so – give me the Yeller Jackets. The Yeller Jackets.
Yeller.
Yeller.
All right, next one. Battle for the last place in the SEC. Ole Miss at Tennessee. And Tennessee is a 1-point favorite.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm thinking that Ole Miss is looking ahead to the big game against LSU. So I'm thinking that Tennessee's actually going to win this one because Ole Miss is looking ahead, and that's my reasoning. So Tennessee's going to do this.
I'm going to use the literal reasoning for this. Vandy beat Ole Miss. Tennessee beat Ole Miss. Tennessee beat Vandy by 36 points. I like Tennessee.
Well, that could work too, but mine sounded better.
I know it don't always work like that, but
if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, matchup of 2-7-2 teams, Mississippi State at Alabama, and from what I hear, Alabama will be wearing some special houndstooth uniforms this weekend.
Really?
What? I'm about to see that.
I've never seen Alabama deviate away from the basic.
Me neither. I am gonna have to see that.
Yeah, it's I've seen them. It's subtle. Don't lose your mind. It's still Alabama, but.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The spread. Bama's favored by 14.
That's a big number.
Again,
yeah. State's going to keep that game close than that, without question.
I think so, because we beat Alabama up. So they've still got a letdown coming from us. We're coming off of our game. And then they're getting ready for Auburn. Shoot, this is another trap game. This was really Alabama's truly trap game, if you think about it. So I would say I'd have to go Mississippi State here.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Mississippi State to keep it close. I really think they're gonna keep it close. I mean, for all the reasons that I wanted Florida to go and beat them the week after they played us, and you know, I picked Florida then. I'm going opposite of that. I'm picking Mississippi State in here against Alabama. I don't think they win, but I think they keep it close to 14.
All right, next up, battle for the SEC East slot in Atlanta, South Carolina at Florida. Florida is favored by 6.
Oh, God. Big game Spurrier at South Carolina. They always choke. I don't know. I mean, given the fact that I saw South Carolina just lay a total friggin' egg against Arkansas. I mean, it's a ranked
somebody
team you're playing.
Happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still a ranked team you're playing at home. You know, come on. Give me a break. Freaking, if you can't, whatever. I'm not picking South Carolina. Just because of you, Joe Labat, I'm picking Florida.
I like Florida to win. I just don't think they're going to cover that spread. So I'm going to take South Carolina to cover the spread, but I like Florida to win a close game. This game is going to be very similar, I think, to Georgia. I think it's going to be back and forth, possible overtime. You know, and like I said, I had a feeling South Carolina was going to get shellacked by Arkansas last week because that game meant nothing to South Carolina because they wasn't playing for a national championship. It rendered no bearing to an SEC championship for them because they could have lost and still, as long as they beat Florida this week, they're fine. So they're getting ready for this game. They're going to keep it close, but I think in the end, Florida's going to make more plays than South Carolina, and Florida's going to win. But not cover. I'm taking South Carolina to cover, though.
I'm not. I just can't do it. Not they're just so up and down. And Garcia, sometimes he'll make a spectacular. He's like Brett Favre, because I'm watching him on TV right now. Sometimes he'll make a spectacular play, and sometimes he'll just shoot the pot.
All right, moving on out to the West Coast, Southern Cal at Arizona. Arizona is a 5-point favorite.
I'm going with the Wildcats.
I'm going to have to go with, God, I hate to pick them. I'm going to go with Southern Cal in this one. I just think they lost to Oregon. You know, they're really not playing for much, but they're just playing, but they got to win. You know, they want to win some games and kind of make themselves say, okay, I'm all right. Arizona is, I'm still going to take USC. Arizona's going to play with a little emotion, but I'm going to take USC.
They got absolutely stomped by Stanford. I'm taking Arizona. I'm taking Arizona by a touchdown.
All right, next one. Stanford at Arizona State. Stanford is favored by 6.
Give me the Cardinal. Give me the trees.
I'm calling trees. Upset special right here. This is the upset special of the week. The Cardinal falls out of the BCS right here. Arizona State takes this game.
All right. After that, going a little non-conference, Utah at Notre Dame.
Oh, boy, this is a real one that everybody's going to want to turn the TV on for.
Yep. Utah is favored by 5 on the road.
Well, they can't play any worse than they did against TCU, right?
No, they can't.
Then again, how bad is Notre Dame?
Not good.
Yeah, I'd say Notre Dame is horrible. And Utah, while they got their butt whooped by TCU, who is, in my eyes, a legitimately good team, you know, Utah's not that bad. They're gonna beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's just, I'm glad, I want to see them keep losing. And
yeah.
Keep losing bad.
I like the Utes. I like the Utes to cover.
All right, next one, a little out of conference action. UTEP at Arkansas. Arkansas by 30. Maybe we should have pulled that spread.
Give me Arkansas.
Is that Arkansas?
Yep.
I would hope
okay,
so.
Okay, I'll take the Razorbacks because I
want
to keep moving up.
Because of the turf.
Well, no, just because I need them to keep moving up in the rankings a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, next one, Vandy at Kentucky.
Oh, boy, another good one.
Kentucky by 15.
Vanderbilt's going to continue to lose games really bad. And Kentucky's going to jump on that bandwagon as well and win this game by more than 15. I like Kentucky by like 21. So I'm taking the Wildcats. I mean, the Wildcats.
I got to agree with you there. The Vanderbilt's coach, while he was quirky and funny at the beginning of the season, is now probably crying and saying, what the hell did I do? Let me just get out of this while I still can. He's leaving after the season.
At least our coach is quirky, but we're 8-1 and ranked 5th in the BCS.
Yeah, well, we got a stupid quirky. They got a just well, they know their guy's good with lines. He's our coach can't talk, but he's quirky. Their coach can talk, but he can't coach.
That's true.
So that's the way I put it. So anyway, Vanderbilt's a bad team, and Kentucky's a better team than what their record shows. Kentucky wins this game, like you said, by at least 3 touchdowns.
So maybe we get Caldwell to do all of Miles' press launches. How about that?
You could do that. Yeah, have him talk. It's like his press secretary.
Yeah.
All right. Next one, the last one on the list before our game, a bit of an interesting one. Virginia Tech, you know, much maligned, lost to James Madison and Boise State, but have not lost a conference game in the ACC, sitting at 7-2, at North Carolina, who has built themselves a pretty nice little 6-3 season. Virginia Tech is only favored by 5 in this game.
Yeah, this is another one of those teams that helped LSU along the line. I mean, is North Carolina, you know, it's in all their starters and all that stuff, and you know, well, they've only lost to us, and they've only lost two games the rest of the season. I don't know if they can cover five against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's rolling right now. They've definitely put those two games early in the season in their rearview mirror. They're thinking ACC championship, and it's pretty easy for them to take because they are the only team worth talking about in that conference. So I like Vitek to go out to North Carolina and cover.
They are the only team worth talking about, but, I'm going to take North Carolina in this game because with everything that's happened, North Carolina settled down. They're playing good, solid football, you know, quietly, but they're playing good, solid football. I think this is where Virginia Tech comes down again. And what this is really going to do is kill Boise because Boise, that was their big hang their hat on game, basically, was beating Virginia Tech early in the season. And with them going down again, it's just going to, like you said, North Carolina's going to keep helping us by winning. So they beat Virginia Tech. They move into a decent spot somewhere, you know. Virginia Tech loses out. Boise falls down. We move up. Hey, it all works into place. Like I said, we got the weird, he's got the voodoo thing going on right now, Les Miles does, and this is just part of it.
Gotcha. Yeah,
well,
you think about that.
North Carolina, yeah.
North Carolina beating Virginia Tech would hurt Boise State.
Yeah, and we're already pretty close to them in the BCS standings. It's,
we'll jump them. If we win out, we jump them.
Anyway. Yeah. All right.
Good.
All right. Last one, of course, is us, Monroe at LSU. We're favored by 31.
Oh, wow.
I like LSU to cover. I think we cover.
Yeah, I think we've opened it up and we've shown that we have a little confidence throwing the ball down the field. Our receivers are actually going to run hard routes now because of that. Yeah, and besides that, we're going to break a couple big runs. We're going to put it this way, Kerry. I will call it now. We will be ahead. We're not going to have one in the first half where we just kind of whatever. We're going to be ahead by like 20-something at the end of the first half.
Okay. I think it's still going to be ugly, but it's going to be something like 36-3 ugly.
Yeah, and we'll be out of there for the middle of third quarter or something.
Yeah. Give me LSU to cover that 31.
Okay. You got it.
All right.
That was tough. Real philosophizing going on.
Oh yeah, without question. The Warhawk breakdown I thought was tremendous tonight.
Hey, do they have a what's their mascot? I mean, I know it's a Warhawk, but shit. I mean, do they have one of them stupid looking mascots or something now? Do they actually have a bird that flies around? I don't know.
I think it's a dog.
Oh, a Warhawk's a dog?
No, I hear for this game,
a
bird in a costume.
Tulane is loaning them Riptide.
Good.
Tulane's gonna loan him. You remember when back in the old days when Tulane used to have that stupid wave walking around?
Oh God, was that retarded? It looked like Gumby on crack.
Yeah. Tulane needs to bring that thing back.
Yeah, because that's the only way to attract people to their games. If a mascot got in a fight or something.
Tulane needs to bring the Riptide back, whatever it was called.
Do they still have a football team? Because, man.
Yeah, they still play football down there in the Super
Bowl. When's the last time you heard something about Tulane?
John King.
Huh. Oh, man, that's horrible. They're horrible.
That school can boast of something. Mack Brown was their head coach at one point. He was only a quarterback coach with us, but he was the head coach of Tulane.
What's funny is that's what they boast. That is probably their biggest call to fame in football.
That they beat us once in 82. That was the last time they beat us.
Yeah,
what's that?
For the big fight in the stands.
That was 84.
Oh, that was 84.
Almost fight in the stands. That was a fight on the field.
No, it's still there in the stands.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. Which was a great moment in LSU football history as far as I'm concerned. I think we've told that story before. And my dad had that game taped on the old Beta, and and it was great. We scored a late touchdown in the end. I remember to run up the score, and I remember it was in the south end zone. And as Eric Morton scored a touchdown, a two-lane cheerleader spit in his face. And I thought I started. I'll never forget that. Never forget. It's one of the things that just that etch in your brain when you was a kid. I don't think Parker was born yet. Maybe he was. Parker, how old are you? 24?
Yeah.
I ask this question to you like every week. So you were like a year old. You were a year old at this point. So, Parker, you got to find video footage of that. If anybody can do it, you can. That's
right.
Great. Somebody's got to have video footage of that fight because it was so awesome. It was just, I remember Sean Burks, the linebacker, clotheslining the two-lane guy over the south end zone. Or spearing him or something. It was great. And maybe it's like more exaggerated in my head because it's, you know, you go back and watch it today, probably nothing really happened.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds good.
But anyway.
Kind of like an old wives' tale. It gets better with age.
Yep. Well, that will do it for us tonight on the Go Show. We thank everybody for listening. As always, nowhere can you get, you can get insight from anywhere. But you can't get the banter that me and Patrick give you from week to week. So, Saturday.
And we do this all for your listening pleasure for free.
Yeah, Saturday, I think y'all should do a show without me. I think y'all can handle it. I don't know if Podcast wants to take that risk. For some reason, I'm the only trustworthy person. It was just scary. Maybe I'll get a while have y'all behind and do a show and make me proud on Saturday. I hope y'all do. So, in any event, since we might not be here Saturday, I might come back to you again next week. Well, we'll definitely come back to you next week to talk about ULM and preview Ole Miss. And the podcast behind the scenes, pushing the buttons for Patrick Morris and Patrick Dula. I am Kerry Munch. And I ended with a Go Tigers and also a Hunker Down, You Hairy Dog. We're done.